What's up, my guy?
How you doing, brother?
Oh, I've been better, man, but I'm making it. I'm a trooper.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm glad you're doing a little better today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, let's just start out with welcome everybody to Unscripted Violence. I'm Stagger Lee, along with Jason. And Jason, we have a little bit of news this week.
Yeah, we got a little bit, not a lot. It's kind of empty on the AEW side, which is kind of weird. Next week's
I haven't heard a lot myself.
No, really, they're just getting ready for Fyter Fest 2 next week with the big Jericho Kingston barbed wire match, part of Shark Week. Filming those promos. It's mostly WWE news, and some. We'll get to the McMahon news here in a minute. I know we said we'll talk about that for a second, but today, Andrew Zarian of Madman Podcast, which is a great podcast, he actually leaked that there was a letter sent to from USA to WWE, or from WWE to USA, that they're going to drop the PG rating and go to PG-14 content. Now, some are saying this is the end of the PG era. Some are saying this is kind of maybe AEW has kind of forced their hand a little bit. We'll see. The rating, TV ratings are really weird. The network itself can put the Attitude Era could have been PG if they wanted it to be. But usually you make it a certain way so the sponsors and the network know what you're going to be putting on. Actually, come to find out that the memo was sent out early on accident. The first date, I think, said that they were going to start was July 18th. Don't hold me to that. But now I'm hearing that might not be it. It might be pushed back. But apparently they're getting away from the PG era. Be interesting to see what they do. NXT that's on Tuesday nights is I don't know if you've ever watched the new 2.0, but it's a lot racier, a lot more scantily clad women, a little bit more freely of the way they do things. Is it going to go that route? Are we going to see maybe more blood in WWE compared to like how AEW's been doing? Little interested to see what they do with this TV, with this PG-14 rating.
I'd be interested to see myself. It sounds like AEW might have something to do with it.
Yeah, they were number one again this week, AEW, the episode we're going to cover. Didn't quite reach a million. They were close. Still number one in their demo, which, I mean, I don't want to hear about ratings talk. If you're number one on cable television with all the channels out there, you're number one. I don't care how many people. TVs watch different than how it was. So that's a good thing for AEW. Sasha Banks made some news. She announced she took a booking for a, I don't know if it's a Comic-Con or some kind of convention where she'll be doing a meet and greet, which like opened a floodgates of like promoters trying to get her. So apparently she told people that she will be taking non-wrestling booking appearances up until, I think it said January 1st. So I don't know if like, this pretty much confirms she's released from WWE. Now is it just that they're letting her contract just run out and then she can sign somewhere else? Did they agree to some non-compete? Whatever, but pretty much confirmed that she's asking a high appearance fee, which I guess she's getting. Rumored to be in the range of like $30,000 per appearance, which is good money if you can get it. So. Looks like, and I want to say this, I know you don't watch NXT and you don't really watch WWE, but when she walked out because of creative and the way the tag team division was being booked. Since she left, they said they were going to hold a tournament to announce new tag team, you know, have new women's tag team champions. Well, they haven't done that yet. How long has this been? What, a couple months? Now, on NXT... they have a group called Toxic Attraction that is with Mandy Rose, and they've been tag team champions for a long time. One of the most over groups in NXT. Well, last week at Great American Bash, they lost to these ladies' names are Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. So they became the new tag team champions. So on this week's episode of NXT, the Roxanne Perez, one of the one half holder of the Women's Tag Team Champions, had a title shot against Mandy Rose. Well, when she showed up to the arena, she got beat down. You know, they did the whole angle where she got beat up or whatever. Everybody was blaming Mandy Rose and Toxic Attraction. Well, towards the end of the main event, she walks out. She's actually going to make the fight. Her teammate turns on her 1 week after they win the tag team championship. What sense does that make?
That doesn't sound very exciting or interesting to me.
So what do you do with champions? And this is why she left. And this, I know people are going to say, well, WWE is this. That creative is so horrible. Why make them the champions if you're going to break them up a week later? It makes no sense at all.
Yeah. Even with that PG-14 rating or whatever, I can't see them improving much creatively.
They got to get better writers or something. But just that just doesn't make any sense.
They need to stop employing their wannabe TV writers and
comedy writers.
Yeah, comedy writers, all of that. They need to get some actual wrestlers in there writing their material. It gets more horrible every time I hear about them.
Well, this will make it even worse, and I'm going to try to get on a tangent about WWE. But SmackDown this past Friday night, I want you to guess, on a two-hour television show, take out, 40 minutes for commercials, 20 minutes each hour, I think, is what roughly is. So out of, we'll say an hour and a half, out of an hour and a half of television time, how much time do you think was spent on wrestling matches?
Oh, I think you told me already this week, so.
Yeah, 14 minutes.
You told me 14 minutes.
They announced the main event was supposed to be Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus, which I was like, you know what? All right, cool. Whatever. The winner was going to get a title shot at the Clash of the Castle match. And this is how bad that their writing is right now. And I still can't believe this show gets 2 million viewers. I don't understand it at all. I don't know if it's just because it's on free TV and you just need an antenna. Sheamus came out and said that he cannot wrestle Drew McIntyre tonight because he has COVID. So they're making a joke about having COVID and him not being able to wrestle, and sent out Pete Dunne, whose name, I forget whatever the hell they call him, Butch, in WWE. And the main event lasted like 2 minutes, and Drew McIntyre won.
I still can't believe that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that
no.
Name change. Butch. That's horrible.
Just stupid. But anyway, Big E. Big news on Big E, and this is a miracle, and I'm so happy for this guy. He had his neck broken, I forget how long ago, on SmackDown, and they thought he was going to have surgery, and who knows how he's going to be out, and this and that.
I remember hearing about that, yeah.
He came out and announced that he doesn't have to have surgery, it's going to fix itself on its own. He's still a long way from being back in the ring, of course, but at least he doesn't have to have surgery, so prayers, thoughts, sent out to Big E. Can't wait to see him in the ring, but thank God he doesn't have to have surgery. That's a big, big deal.
Yeah, it is. I've had that surgery, and it sucks. It was the worst. The recovery, everything sucks about it.
Yeah, so hopefully you get back. Do you want to talk about Vince or not? It's up to you.
Sure, let's hear a little dirt on Vince.
All right,
get any worse, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's pretty bad. Well, I don't think we talked about this last time, but the second report from the Wall Street Journal came out, and the total went from one woman to, 3 million, 4 million, to four women, $12 million that he had paid out in hush money. Now, the really big thing out of that, and that I still can't believe that somebody like this has a job, or is not arrested, but one of the female wrestling talents in 2005, he coerced her into giving him oral sex, and then after he kept wanting to have sexual advances with her, she denied. He took away her push and then did not re-sign her, and basically released her because she wouldn't have sex with him. And then I guess this happened in 2005. A lot of speculation on who it is. I'm not going to put my hat out there because that's not fair to the person or whoever. They signed an NDA, they can't even talk about it anyway. But 13 years later is when she got paid off. So I don't know if she finally said, I've had enough, I'm going to talk. And then Vince was like, hey, it's all just really weird. But just This whole thing.
He's the biggest fucking scumbag, man.
It's sickening. Well, the first appearance that he made after it came out, it's being reported on SmackDown, when he came out and just said, "Welcome to SmackDown and, you know, us forever, blah, blah, blah." When he walked back into the gorilla position afterwards, he said, "Fuck them all." Like, you know, like he, the man thinks he's untouchable, which basically is in that company, which is really just messed up. But I don't think this is going away. It's really interesting. I can't wait till we find out who is the one who leaked all this information. Who's the one who
keeps getting worse. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
Well, the thing is, it's pro wrestling, so people don't think it's real. I heard on a podcast today I was listening to, and again, it was the Met Men podcast from Andrew Zarian, who does a great job. He was saying somebody like messaged him and said, "Is this real?" And he's like, "What are you talking about? Like, is this sexual, you know, is this sexual abuse thing really real?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, it's real." And he's like, "Oh, it was wrestling, so I didn't know." So people automatically think that's because, well, you know, they've been hoodwinked before. Vince McMahon killed himself in a limo, you know, and people thought that was real. You know, people with wrestling, you know, you have such a bad, WWE has put such a bad just stain on it. Like, people are like, is this really real? And like, if this was any other company in America, that CEO would be fired, would have been gone, would have been like, "See you later."
Yeah, it's almost like they're accepting this kind of behavior from this douchebag.
Well, because he has the money and he owns the creative. Like, and this is the thing: people are like, "Oh, he's not the." It doesn't matter if he's the CEO; he doesn't run stuff anyway right now. Nick Khan has been running that for a while. All Vince wants to do is the creative. That's all Vince cares about. And as long as Vince is in charge of creative, it's not going to happen. Now, something big that did come out of this: Netflix was going to release a documentary on Vince McMahon, and this was supposedly like already in like post-production. They were going to start getting it ready to air. They have decided to drop the project in the midst of all these allegations.
Good.
And it was going to be like a pro WWE, because WWE had final say on everything, so it was going to be like a pro Vince thing anyway. So, but just, you know, that's one domino that's going to fall. Let's see what else happens.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't watch. I a long time ago, I couldn't watch them. And, when AEW started, I was so happy. So happy.
I don't want to hold it against the wrestlers because it's not their fault. They got to have a place to work. And I love a lot of WWE wrestlers, so I still watch them. I still support them. Because either way, even if I don't, they're still going to be on TV. And it's not fair to the Kevin Owenses and the Sami Zayns and the people of that in the world, that the Claudios when he was there and things like that. I stopped for a long time.
Just because the show was so bad, it was unwatchable to me.
Well, Raw puts me to sleep on Monday nights, and SmackDown usually does too. So that's kind of my sleeping pill for those days. But
I don't know how you do it, my friend.
It's rough. This SmackDown was really hard. It was really hard. But I think that's about it. The only other thing is I'll be at SummerSlam in 2 weeks. So I know we talked about the project, but the card looks pretty cool. That's the one thing I'll say about WWE. I don't like their weekly shows, but I do like the pay-per-views, or the PLEs as they call them, because the guys actually get to wrestle and do their thing. So,
I heard they changed the name to Premier Live Event, right? Yeah.
It's Premium Live Events.
Oh, Premium. Okay.
Well, I guess that's something that's new in the industry. And so Nick Khan's all about that. He was like, "Oh," but whatever. But it's up to 30,000 tickets sold. So that's pretty cool. That'd be a pretty cool environment to be in. And
are you going to be able to see any GCW when you're in town?
I don't know. I looked up tickets the other day. I don't know. Moxley is going to be there like all weekend. He's going to be there for GCW. He's also going to be there for New Japan Strong, which is like an excellent card. I don't have it. Moxley is fighting. Oh my God. It's a no time limit draw too. I want to say El Diablo, but I could be wrong. It's some mass wrestler. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just saw it, but it's a great card. FTR's on it. It's going to be a New Japan Strong show there too. So I don't know. It depends on what we're going to do when we get there. We'll see. I looked up tickets. It was like $50 for a GCW ticket, which I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, at least you're getting to see SummerSlam. That's awesome.
Yes, sir. I can't wait.
Well, let's talk about Fyter Fest, night one.
And you didn't like it, did you?
I wasn't as thrilled as I thought I was going to be.
I enjoyed it. I kind of rewatched it. I told you I was going to. I'll make my arguments for it as we get into the show. And also, remind me at the end, if I don't remember, I have a very interesting stat on Swerve Strickland.
Oh, okay. Sounds cool. Well, we opened up the show immediately with Orange Cassidy versus Wardlow for the TNT Championship. There was a small backstage segment with Orange and the best friends about how they got manager's licenses, because Danhausen got a manager's licenses. they're gonna have to cheat to beat Wardlow, and Orange says he doesn't care. I thought it was pretty funny.
It was funny, but the way they tried to cheat later on was just so stupid.
Yeah, it got kind of ridiculous, but yeah. I wasn't pleased at all that they were booking Orange to lose after his performance and the loss to Will Ospreay, and after the momentum he was gaining. Why are they booking Orange this way? Are we doomed to see him be a loser? I mean,
now what I'm thinking and what I was kind of hearing is, if you noticed recently, and I don't know if I agree with this strategy or not yet, I want to see how it plays out, because Wardlow is so bad at selling, like, just he's not used to doing it. And there was a turnbuckle spot where, like, on the outside, where Orange went to throw his head into the post, and like Wardlow put his hand up, and then like 5 seconds later his head went towards the thing, and like you see him hit it in like 0.5, like he barely touched it, like a pillow could have hit him harder than that. If you notice, recently they put Wardlow, after squashing MJF, they put him with good workers, which are Scorpio Sky. No matter what you want to say about him, he's a great worker in the ring. Orange Cassidy is a great worker in the ring. I don't know if they're trying to get Wardlow away since he's now the champion. What I would do is I would have Wardlow squash everybody. He should have had somebody just to beat the shit out of him and just squash in 3 minutes. I don't know how I feel about having him taking offense from Orange Cassidy and then shaking his hand at the end. Wardlow's still going to be over. He's getting the Goldberg-type chance. I don't think this was anything against Orange Cassidy. I think it was just them wanting to put a worker against Wardlow in his first match, and somebody
could have picked somebody else. They could have picked somebody else.
Orange is big in Tony Khan's eyes, and he has they made a big point on the announcing he has 35 wins, you know, some of the most in AEW, and just kind of hyping him up as a challenger, and
he should be a champion, in my opinion.
I disagree. We talked last night. I said maybe tag team champion, but I don't think his gimmick really needs a champion. It's kind of like the Roddy Piper gimmick. He didn't need to be a champion to be over, to be that guy. I don't know if Orange Cassidy needs one to be that guy.
It just seems like every time he gets the big match, he loses, and I don't like
that. That could be AEW does long-term. Jericho was that way for the longest time. People don't remember this, but the big story, because I was there for Jericho's first world title match against The Rock at No Mercy in St. Louis. And it was always, could Jericho win the big one? He would always lose the big match. He would always lose the big match. And then, bam, he beats The Rock. And then, bam, you know, he wins both titles in one night. And then he goes on his historic roll. Sometimes you use the story of, can they finally win the big one? And then when they do win it, it's so much bigger than just having them win it right away.
That's true. I mean, we'll see. But in this match, that was the only gripe I had about the match. And Wardlow selling, like you said, he needs to work on that. It's really surprising how exposed he was in this match.
Yeah, he looked a little rough, and sometimes we got to remember that we're watching a company that's 3 years old. Wardlow was not one of the indie darlings that came in that everybody loved. Everybody was like, who the hell is this guy?
And, yeah.
You know, he's working. You don't get a match every week in AEW. That's just because the roster is so bloated and so big, unless you fight on Dark every week. But he's learning. He'll get there. We'll forget about this, later on. We'll just know Wardlow beat Orange Cassidy. But usually AEW starts out with a hot match, and this just to me just wasn't a hot match. Yeah, you had the cool spot where Wardlow ripped out his pockets and things like that.
That was more in comedy, I thought.
Him pulling
Wardlow's straps back on him instead. Yeah. That was funny.
Pulling Danhausen out from under the ring, pulling the chainsaw. Yeah. Like, it just, I didn't like it. Like, it didn't set AEW up usually the way it does. Usually AEW starts out hot and keeps going.
But I mean, they did have Orange kick out of the F10.
Oh, that was horrible.
Which nobody's kicked out of before.
Why?
I thought that was a good part of the match.
No,
it shows Orange's toughness. And no. Orange is known to be tough like that, resilient. So
save that for a big spot. No, I disagree with that. I thought that was bad.
I know. I think that was a good part of the match.
You got to make that special. And what's you're gonna? It was just on a random Dynamite. That's something where
I'm not agreeing with the way that they did it or where they did it, but it happened. And
I think
it happened. I don't think it was that bad.
No. Oh yeah, we disagree on that. That was fucking horrible.
Very much so. Very much so. Orange tried an orange punch, but got powerbombed in the end, and Wardlow gets the win. Wardlow picked up Cassidy and just basically showed him respect. That was that match for what it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, wow, that was such a good match. It wasn't that memorable to me.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Why use that spot there in a non-memorable match? Why?
Maybe it looks better on paper. I don't know.
I guess, but yeah, I didn't like this at all.
Didn't translate out the way that it should have.
Right.
But I think, both workers just, it was a real clash. Like you said, the selling was a lot to do with it. The spots weren't that big. I don't know. It doesn't throw me as Orange Cassidy matches usually do.
Yeah. Hey, also at the end of the when we get done, I got some Danielson news too. I forgot.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about it afterwards.
All right. Sounds good. Then they show a clip of Pac. I guess he defended the All Atlantic Championship on Dark. Rev Pro. Why not have him defend it on Rampage or Dynamite? I mean,
but actually at the Rev Pro show, and then they just showed it on Dark. So it was defended. Well, it's the All Atlantic, and I think that's why they gave it to Pac, because he wants to be home, I guess, a lot. I don't know if he has something going on over there a lot. So this was closer to his home. So he gets to take this title, and I mean, it's a way to spread the name of AEW around the world. They want to be a worldwide company, not just a U.S. company, which is a big deal. Why they do the Sodom Singh things and, the Sanjay Dutt, the Jay Lethal, and sometimes we're like, why are they doing this? Because we don't give a care about it. So it's not just about us. It's about the rest of the world and getting TV deals in other places. So, Rev Pro, that's the title that Will Ospreay was wearing when he fought Orange Cassidy. Yeah,
he's the Rev Pro World Champion. I remember that.
So, defend it there. You can show it on it's a way to try to get people to watch Dark. Remember, all this stuff that they're doing, everything that all these people that AEW work with and all these other things that they're doing, it's all for content to go to a streaming service. So it's sometimes we got to be like, why don't we get to see that match? Well, people overseas are like, why don't we get to see that match? So that's why they did it there.
I'll have to go back and watch the Dark because Dark's kind of become not interesting at all lately. And
it's so hard. Like, there's already so much wrestling on, and now you want me to go to YouTube?
And yeah, so
I coach football 3 days a week, and I work, and like, for a guy like me, it's hard. I want to watch Dark. I want to. I just don't have the time. You know what I mean? So
it's too much content out there. Almost. It's
well, if crazy. They would. if they would have Dark, if Dark or if Dark and Elevation were on, it don't have to be TBS, but when, like if it was on True TV or something like that, I could record it and watch it later. You know what I mean? But when it's on Dark, when it's on YouTube, yeah, I can go back and watch it later. But that show really isn't for people like you and me. It's for people that are on YouTube and like scroll past it, maybe see it, maybe stop it and watch.
I used to cover Dark and everything, and then it's just only so much you can do of it. Yeah. Really. It's great. It's a great way for him to develop characters.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. Yep, you took the words out of my mouth. Yep.
Yeah, it is, and that's about it. I'm not interested in it anymore.
Yeah, it's like a developmental, but it's on YouTube.
Yeah. So then we have Chris Jericho walking out to the ring. He's addressing Eddie Kingston's challenge to a barbed wire everywhere match, did you know that it was a barbed wire everywhere?
I think he said it wrong. I'm pretty sure it's a barbed wire steel cage match.
Okay, because like I heard it twice during the show. They said barbed wire everywhere.
Yeah, I gotta double check that.
Doesn't sound right, does it?
Yeah. What is barbed wire everywhere? I mean, is it gonna be in the crowd and people are gonna be holding barbed wire? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll do some research on that and find out. But I'm pretty sure it's just the steel cage is full of barbed wire. But I could be wrong.
That could be it. But he talks about Eddie's friends and brings up Ruby getting hurt because she's Eddie's friend. Then he gets him to talk about how good he is in a barbed wire match, how he did one of the first Canadian barbed wire matches.
I love that.
Yeah, I if it's true or not, I don't know. Then Eddie's going to face the Painmaker version of Jericho. Says how Eddie will never be on his level. This promo just didn't excite me for the match.
It did not excite me.
Fell flat to me. I think this, Jericho could have done better.
Oh my god, this was classic Jericho. This was Jericho, like, I forget when he was like the SmackDown champion and he came out in a suit all the time and he would, oh, this was great.
I like Painmaker Jericho. It was the promo.
No, I'm not talking about Painmaker. I'm talking about the suit, wearing the suit to the ring, and he talking about, I thought this was great. I thought,
it was kind of back to his character back in when he was champion.
It was so good. It was so it was so condescending, and it was so arrogant, and it was so good. This was heel 101, and this was just,
this was not his best. No way.
You're so wrong. This was so great.
This did not pump me up whatsoever.
Oh, this got me hyped. This got me hyped for old Jericho. I love this.
I don't know how.
What this did was set up for a Kingston win, which we're gonna get to end the feud. He got his point over. It said it was a heel promo to get the baby face over, and it was perfect. Everything he said was just great. It was classic heel 101. Put over himself, talked about how great he was, what he was gonna do, how he was bringing out the worst in him.
I've heard it before.
From
heard
who?
It before, from Jericho.
But this was so good.
I've heard the same promo from Jericho so many times. Maybe I get used to him being fresh so many times that I expect him to be fresh every time.
To me, this was fresh. So I guess we're going to disagree on this one too. But I thought this was just great. This was just, it got me hyped. I was so excited.
Well, then we went to backstage and you see Ruby Soho and Ortiz and Eddie Kingston. He cuts a short promo and, you know, says, look what you did to Ruby here. And she's like, show him your arm. Ortiz, show him your hit, what he did to you. And, you know, Eddie does a good Eddie promo. I liked better in what Eddie did in 30 seconds than what Jericho did with the whole 5 minutes of what he had.
I could listen to Eddie Kingston talk for 2 hours. I could listen to him and get hyped. And I thought they both meshed so well. I thought they were both great. I thought they each promo complimented each other. Cause like Kingston gets on the mic and he's like, how long did he get? He gets 5 minutes. Okay. Let me get to the point.
Yeah, I love how Eddie does stuff.
I was so, and he's so intense. And it, if you see Eddie Kingston in the streets of New York, this is the Eddie Kingston you're going to get. Like, he is so real. And I cannot wait to see what the hell he does to Jericho in this match. I think it's going to be bloody, epic. It's going to be just a massacre.
And I'm excited for the match. Don't get me wrong.
I just think that's the promo
that Jericho did not excite me.
You're still wrong about the promo, but that's all right. You know, you're allowed to be wrong every once in a while. But I think that's why I think that's why the last 2 weeks have kind of been a little vanilla a little bit for Dynamite, because we went from, you know, we had Forbidden Door and then we had Blood and Guts. And I really think this match is going to be really freaking bloody. And I think
I hope it is.
Oh, it's going to be. Jericho is going to bleed like a stuffed hog for Eddie Kingston. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, I want to see them both bloody in a mess.
Oh, yeah.
I know that they both can do it. I know that they're going to do a banger match. I'm more excited for that than the excitement I had in this entire night's show.
Oh, you're so wrong. Claudio was on the show, man.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm actually wearing a little plug, even though, you know, I'm wearing my new Claudio AEW shirt right now as we speak.
Oh, you got it, huh?
Yep. Got it in my CM Punk socks. I'm excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
Next we had the AEW Interim Championship. Konosuke Takeshita.
Takeshita.
Takeshita. Okay.
Yes. There we go.
Versus John Moxley. It was a solid match. They go into a pick and pick during the match, which I'm never a fan of. When they come back, Takeshita is opened up. Nothing's really stuck out in the match to me because of the pick and pick at that point. The crowd's loving this match. They're getting into it. There's a couple of false finishes with this. What I want to know is, what's the difference? Tell me what the difference is between the Paradigm Shift and the Death Rider.
I think maybe just the Death Rider, he lifts them up a little higher. Like, I don't know. I'm confused that too. When they say that, I'm like, what? Did Excalibur just make this up?
It's the same move. It's the same exact move.
Sometimes I think him and Taz just like say shit just to make, like, to make him sound smarter. Like, Taz will be like, oh, that's the Figanomi Lopit Blobo, and he kicked out. Like, what? What the fuck did Taz?
Yeah, he said in literally like two moves, he's like, oh, he did a paradigm shift. Oh, now he did the Death Rider. Yeah, and like, yeah, he just did another paradigm shift, Excalibur.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
Stop.
Takeshita is a star. This kid is something else, man. And
he's really good, from what I saw.
What I wanted to happen, and I knew it wasn't going to, but I almost messaged you about this. But what I wanted to happen, because we're on a delay, so I didn't message it to you, but I kind of wanted the 1-2-3 kid Razor Ramon finish, where like Takeshita gets like a quick like roll up pinfall victory. Just it wouldn't have hurt Moxley at all, and it would have gave him a challenger until Punk got back, because they
I wouldn't want to see Takeshita as interim champ. Not at all.
This wasn't for the title. This was to be if Takeshita won, he would have got a championship match.
Yeah, it was for the interim championship, for that title.
No, this match was not a championship match. It was a contenders match.
They said it was an AEW interim championship.
No, it was a contenders match. If he won, he would have had a championship match against Moxley down the road.
They said he could be the one to face CM Punk.
No, that's not right. It was.
It is right. Go back and watch.
I'm telling you, it was a contenders match. I think we're going to argue on this one.
Yeah, I will go back and watch it.
Well, they had the graphic that showed it as a number one contenders match. Kind of how WWE does it. Whoever wins gets the match.
Well, during the commentary, they were explaining, this was Excalibur speaking, he's like, well, Because Kushida could be the one going up against CM Punk for the championship later down the line.
I'm going to have to rewatch this too, but I'm pretty sure they said, they even announced it on Twitter and online, that it was a number one contenders match. So, that's right. Anyway, great match. Kushida's all, he's over. He's on loan from DDT. I don't know how long they have him, but he keeps losing. Like, he lost against Eddie Kingston in a great match on Rampage last week. He bled with Moxley this week. They need to start getting this kid some wins.
We just need to see him more.
Well, he needs to get some wins, though. He's lost every match he's been in. He lost to Hangman.
But he's been in how many? Two or three?
Yeah, but he's only been here a month.
Yeah, he's got time. We don't have to see him every week either.
I would love to see him every week. I think he's great. I think he's going to be great. He looked good against Hangman. He looked good against Kingston. He looked good against Moxley. This kid's the future. It was a great match. I liked it. It was cool.
Yeah, and then Mox got the Bulldog Choke for the submission and the win. So that's how that went. But yeah, it was a good match.
I think sometimes it's too much predictability in AEW, and I would like to see, which we got in the main event, which I couldn't believe, but
they pull it out.
I would like to be surprised a little bit.
Yeah, that's maybe that was part of the reason why the show didn't excite me, because you knew who the winners were going to be.
Except for the end.
Yeah. That's true. But we had a short video package promo by the House of Black, and this time they're talking about Darby all cryptically like they usually do. What'd you think of that package?
It was pretty cool. I don't know if you saw the part with Brody King interrupting Darby at an autograph signing and beating him up in front of everybody. I thought that was pretty cool. I think they could have done a little bit more about showing that instead of just in this package, like, with no commentary about it.
The way they did it, they just did it and didn't really explain what happened. And, you know, they should have explained, like, yeah, Darby was attacked, you know, at an autograph signing, and here's what happened, you know.
Here's another thing about the commentary. Like, I think the commentary was confused a lot because, like I said, online it said, like, you know, the last match was the number one contenders match. When Excalibur was talking about this promo, he's like, here's Darby Allin talking about him in the Dark or the House of Black, and it was all House of Black. There was no Darby Allin.
Yeah, he did say here's Darby Allin. I was expecting a Darby promo. Yeah, what was up with that?
So they got to get that stuff fixed. That's like
that's sloppy work.
Yeah, and I think they were wrong. Like I said, I'm pretty sure, you know, about the last match, how they said it online. And then, like I said, this. And I think there was a couple other times they kind of screwed up things on commentary, which is a little weird when you're kind of redoing the booth a little bit with JR coming in at 9 o'clock or whatever. But
JR screws up a lot too. Yeah. I mean, he did not sound good tonight at all. I have to say.
I wonder about his health. But, like, the thing with Brody King, like, 2 days later, he did the same thing. They're promoting it on social media, but not everybody follows AEW. Not everybody knows what's going on. It was kind of the same thing we talked about Forbidden Door. Sometimes you have to stop and explain what's going on. Sometimes going slower is better than going fast. And these are things that Tony's learning as they go.
He goes into, like, backstage promo. Okay, we know that's going to get interrupted by the heel.
Right.
This is going to happen. And then real quick vignette here. Another promo match. You know, same pattern. And he's got to, slow down. And I think you're right. Have you seen the guy? He's so hyper and he's got ADD, I swear, because he does go a million miles per hour. He needs to slow it down for the fans though maybe people didn't see this. We'll have to go back over this a little more, and you know, just little touches.
I think sometimes we can imagine ourselves being Tony Khan. Like, I couldn't imagine watching, like, being a wrestling fan like Tony Khan was. Like, I think we're close to the same age, but, like, getting to book CM Punk and getting to book all these, and, like, trying to figure out a way to get everybody on TV and keep everybody happy, I think sometimes he just needs to take a breath.
Yeah. Maybe get some help. Yeah. You know?
Get some help.
He doesn't have to be the sole booker, you know? And
I agree.
People.
I agree.
But we got, after that package, out came Christian Cage and Luchasaurus. Christian cut another kick-ass promo on Brian Pillman Jr. this time, and Griff Garrison. What'd you think of this promo?
Oh, so good. I mean, last week, we didn't cover last week's Dynamite, but this... I hope it doesn't... I'm trying to figure out how I want to phrase this. I hope it doesn't come to be where it's just a good promo where he tries to drop like a bombshell line every time. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's the first week it was your dad's dead, and then the second week it was
this week was about his dead dad.
I wish your whole family was dead, and the next week it was I want to bang your mom. And then, you know, the sober line, and then, but this is Christian. It's so good. It's just the way they're booking Luchasaurus is the way I wish they were booking Wardlow. Come in, kick ass, leave. I don't need to see a 30-minute match from Luchasaurus. I don't need to see a 30-minute match from Wardlow. I have the Young Bucks for that. I have Punk for that. I have...
The one thing I do know about Luchasaurus is he can go 30 minutes and make it look good.
Yeah, but I don't need that. I don't need that from him when I'm seeing it from five other guys. I need to see him go in and kick ass. And that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. I think the way they're booking him is perfect. What I think is perfect is his entrance, is everything that they're doing with him right now.
Just because you can doesn't mean you have to.
If they could just drop the name Luchasaurus, I'd be happy.
What? So you want him to lose the mask?
I wouldn't mind seeing him lose the mask.
I already seen it before in WWE Developmental. So I like it.
I've seen him before.
Yeah, he was in NXT for a while. I didn't like it when he was with Jungle Boy because, like I said, I thought it was hokey and pokey. But I like the mean kind of.
Yeah, I like the mask now with the way they're doing it. Maybe change the name Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus. It sounds too jovial and cheesy and
I don't know.
It's almost comical, you know.
I like I like how he pointed to how Griff Garrison looked like Jungle Boy, and it kind of put him in a like a trance.
Oh yeah, that was good.
That was great.
Yeah, and then so that's the way that match begins. It's basically a squash match with Luchasaurus after he tells him that hey, Griff looks just like Jungle Boy Luchasaurus, and he snaps on him. So it's almost like he's training him like some Jungle Boy kill, you know, and.
And that's what I want from him. Like I said, I know we can go 30 minutes. I've seen it before. I don't need to see it, though. What I need to see is this guy, this 6'10", 6'11", bad motherfucker, come in, kick ass, and leave. That's all I need from him. And it'll be perfect. Once you start doing 30-minute matches over and over, it's like, okay, I've seen it, big man. All right. It's kind of like it don't work. Go in, kick ass, do what you need to do. You're not paid by the hour, big guy. Go in there, beat some ass, and go home. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's no problem, man. Destroyed Griff, and then he ended up putting Pillman Jr. and Griff through a table after two tries.
The only problem I see with this hope, where it's going, and I don't like it, I'm going to call it now, is Jungle Boy is going to beat Luchasaurus to get to fight Christian Cage at All Out. And I think that is going to be so stupid because...
I would rather have the epic match be Luchasaurus versus Jungle Boy and whoever out of that wins, but I think you're right.
Yeah, it's going to be Jungle Boy beating Luchasaurus on a Dynamite, which I'm sure it'll be a great match because the guys know each other, but I don't need to see this guy already getting beat, and I'm not, like, I don't size shame or do anything like that, but, like, if you look at Jungle Boy and you look at Luchasaurus, really, is this how we're going to go? But this is how we're going to go. Eventually, yeah. Jungle Boy is going to beat Luchasaurus to get to Christian Cage. And Jungle Boy and Christian Cage will be a banger. That'll be match of the year candidate right there.
Oh, that's going to be insane.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what they do with this. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Backstage, we got Tony Schiavone. He's with Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, and Daniel Garcia. And they talk about Garcia and Parker stir the conversation, and they're talking about shark cages. And Garcia cuts a promo on Wheeler Yuta, saying he's going to do his best, that Wheeler Yuta is trying to do his best cosplay of Garcia, and then challenges Yuta to a match at Death Before Dishonor for the Pure title. I think that match is going to be gold.
Oh, banging. That's a banger right there.
Those two going at it? Yes.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, they already had my money, and then they announced this match a while back, so I knew it was going to happen. This is going to be a banger. I love 2.0. I love how he takes out the comb, and the guy thinks it's a knife, and he's like, calm down. It's just a comb. Calm down.
It's just a comb.
Just golden. I can't just...
Bernard gets on my nerves so bad.
No, he's that, so
that
good.
That phony New York accent of his.
Oh, it's so good. Did you see that promo? Did you see that promo he cut after Blood and Guts?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. So good. They put it on TV.
Yeah, with that accent of his, though, it's just... Oh, man.
That's the point. They're sports entertainers, guy. They're sports entertainers.
Yeah. I could do without the accent. That's him. That's his character. That's who he's been since day one. It's working for him, so go with it.
Yeah.
But next we got your guy, Claudio Castagnoli versus Jake Hager. Why do they have to keep stating in every Jake Hager match that he's 3-0 in MMA? Why is that their only talking point about Jake Hager?
Because that's badass, bro.
That's the only thing that's interesting about Hager. Why do I have to hear it every match?
What? That's badass. The dude, you're legit. You're showing that this is... You're trying to make the product.
They've been making that point for the past 3 years about him, though. We know this already.
Because that's badass, bro. The dude is 3-0 in real fighting.
I don't have to hear it every time he gets in the ring, though.
But Hager's not in the ring that much. So when he is there, it makes it feel like a big fight feel.
I'm not a Hager fan. I find him boring. I've always found him boring.
You're a hater. You're drinking the Haterade. You're a hater.
I'm not a hater. I tell me what makes Hager so special.
I didn't say anything makes him special. He's a great hand. The dude's 6'10" and can do some great moves. He can work. This was a great...
He moves like he's got a stick up his ass half the time.
Oh, I just think, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does. He hops around on his toes. It's... Watch him.
I did. I watched him have a great match with Claudio.
Claudio was great.
They both were great. They both worked well together. The swing was great. The power bomb, the Ricola bomb at the end was great. Claudio is a star. You already know how I feel about Claudio. And if you don't know...
I didn't have a problem with Claudio Hager. It just always bores me. Every single time. Doesn't matter how many times I watch him.
Were you bored in this match?
I was entertained by the Claudio spots.
It takes two to tango.
He still doesn't excite me. you can't get him to...
I almost had you there, bro. it was a great match. This was just a great way to get Claudio his first win, his first singles win on Dynamite. I was disappointed last week when I really didn't see him on Dynamite that much, except for like the little talking he did to Hager. But this was just a great... They both are familiar with each other. Like I said, Claudio, even though he did 46 minutes in the Blood and Guts and he did 30 minutes with Zack Sabre Jr., the guy's been out for like 4 or 5 months. They're getting his legs underneath of him. He did a great interview with Sports Illustrated that was published this week. And he just talking about how he wanted to be in AEW, but he wanted to wait. WWE made him a great offer. He wanted to recharge his batteries. He was supposed to do a bodybuilding show or something the day after Forbidden Door. So he was waiting to sign a contract with AEW. But when Danielson went down, Tony Khan kind of put the squeeze play on him, as they say. And I guess gave Claudio an offer he couldn't refuse. So Claudio put that ahead. So he went from trying to put on, like, you know, a bunch of weight to do this bodybuilding thing to get into ring shape. And he just did a great... Claudio, he's so great. He just... This guy is going to get to show a side of himself that people haven't seen before, because they're used to the 10-year Cesaro, how Vince didn't believe in him, didn't give him any backstage segments, booked him as a tag team. You know, he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal thing, blah, blah, blah.
He put himself over. From Vince getting over.
He got over himself, and he's over now. That pop, the pop he gets, the song, his merchandise sales is already crazy in AEW. This guy, future world champion. I really want to see him fight Gresham at Death Before Dishonor. I hope we get some more, because they've been teasing it so much. And I still say, and I dare anybody to prove me wrong, to have the ROH title on Cesaro, the AEW interim title on Moxley, Wheeler Yuta with the pure title, and they walk out together as a faction, and you see all that, how badass that would be. And Gresham and Claudio would be such a great match. I don't know if I'm going to get it.
I've seen him with all the gold. That would not be a bad way to go. That would be beautiful.
But it was a great match, and it got Claudio. Yeah.
It was. Claudio ended with the Ricola bomb for the win. And
this will surprise people. It's not my match of the night. That'll go to the main event. But great match.
Yeah. And then next we had Lexi Nara backstage with Hook. She asks if there's a title shot in the future. Hook says nothing. We know silent here. I would much rather see him in the ring.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Much rather see him in the ring. Where has he been?
That's one thing that, like, gets me about AEW. I don't understand. Like, they were pushing this kid to the moon, and then all of a sudden they just stopped. Why?
Yeah.
Is there a reason? Like, is there something we don't know?
Go tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just book him. Don't book him on Dynamite. Don't book him on Rampage.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know. It's kind of like with Wardlow. After he won against MJF, they kind of cooled him off for a month before he won the TNT title. Yeah. I don't get why we do things sometimes. Like, I wish sometimes we would go balls to the wall with things.
So do I, but there was that. And then backstage we have Tony Schiavone. He's with Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm, and talks about her match on Dark. Then in comes Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter to interrupt.
Whoa, you went right over that. She lost.
She lost the match. Yeah. Who was it against? I couldn't even tell you the girl's name.
Yeah, it's from some other company. I forget. But yeah, I don't know. She's the lady gets a title shot. I forget her name. But she lost.
Yeah. She lost.
Yeah. I don't know where they're going with this. I really don't. Like,
Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa have a Thunderstorm t-shirts on, so now they're a tag team.
But why is the world champion in a fucking tag team?
I don't understand it myself. And
Thunder Rosa was so over.
What about Britt? What about Britt handing Thunder a sandbag?
That was funny. Yeah, that was cool. But back to my rant, like, they used to call it the Road Warrior Pop. They were calling it the Thunder Rosa Pop, and now it's gone.
They've killed Thunder Rosa through bad booking.
And we're gonna go into it because they put one women's match on every week, and I don't know. I'm so confused.
The women's division has so much talent in it. They're using the wrong talent.
And here's what we get every week. We get a Jade Cargill segment. We get another backstage segment with a couple other ladies. And then we get the women's match we get, and no disrespect to these two ladies, Serena Deeb and Anna Jay, which I think was next. That's the match we get on Dynamite, and that's all we get. And I don't get it.
Serena has terrible music, by the way.
She has horrible. She's great in the ring, though.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. But yeah, let's go into that match. I feel that and this was my match that Anna Jay is just a bit overrated.
Yes.
It never really excites me to see her. JR keeps going on about how much better Anna's getting, and well, she shouldn't be getting better. She should already be at that level, you know. She's been on TV long enough. This was an unremarkable match. Serena put the Serenity Lock on for the win. She won't let go of it. Outruns Mercedes Martinez and heads to the outside of the ring. And there's going to be a match with those two, apparently, with Serena Deeb and
Death Before Dishonor. This was garbage time to me. Like, Serena Deeb is so good in the ring, and Anna Jay is not.
Yeah,
she looks great.
Never kidding. Never. I her and Ty Conte, both of them, overrated. Don't get it.
They look good. Jungle Boy's
they got
girlfriend.
Pretty faces. Is that it? Is that? I mean,
it was, I have nothing to say about it. I would have fast forward to this match if I knew it was going to be what it was going to be.
Yeah. But then backstage, we have Tony Schiavone with Jade Cargill. Stokely's back there, and the baddies. Well, one of them says she's a baddie. The other one says she isn't a baddie. An argument. Stokely says on Rampage, they'll be watching Athena and Statlander.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I guess we're going towards a three-way and all out. Jade versus Athena versus Statlander. I guess that's where we're going. I don't
want to win that. I mean,
I do.
Who deserves to win it? I mean, she's been there the longest.
Yeah, but Jade's gonna win, and then blah blah blah. So okay, next.
Yeah, they talk about matches to come up next week, and then Jay Lethal gets on one of the headphones with really bad audio.
Yeah.
And it's the worst promo about his match with Samoa Joe. Just could have skipped over that. Didn't excite me any. It wasn't thrilling. Him and Big Kali every week. So we know what's going on there.
Again, it's not for us. It's for India. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Next.
Backstage, we got Tony Schiavone says that they're with Anna Jay and they're checking in on her. And in walks Ty Conti and says if Anna Jay started slamming Ruby's hand in the car door every once in a while, she'd been on TV a little bit more. Then tells Anna that she needs to make better choices for her career. I could have done without that.
Yep. Same.
Totally. But next, we have our main event.
Yes, sir.
Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland versus the Young Bucks. This was a good match. It's good booking. It's good teams all the way around. I don't have a complaint with any one of the players in this match.
No, Hobbs and Starks are stars. I wish they would get. I hope they get the title soon.
To get the title. I did.
What Ricky does when he's on the ropes and just the power of Hobbs and just some of the moves they did. It was so great. They all worked together. This was a great tag team match. Which the ending I did not see coming at all. I still thought we were getting FTR and the Young Bucks 3. Oh my god, I was so happy.
We got sort of at a part in the match. The belt kind of got knocked down, took the bump in the corner. the belt gets passed around to like each team member, it seemed like. And then when it comes to Swerve, he looks at it and sort of looks like he's confused. Like, was he planning to hit Lee with it or someone else? Or was he, I didn't make much sense to me what was going on in that, what they were trying to get across.
Well, because they've been playing the whole how, if you've been paying attention.
They've been saying that they have a little bit of communication problem between each other in the ring and things like that.
Yeah, they were teasing that. That's what they were teasing. And they were like,
I was thinking, like winning through nefarious means rather than hit Keith Lee. Was he going to hit one of the other people?
Well, because the last couple weeks they've had incidental contact where each of them have taken the other one out by accident.
Right.
So this was kind of like, is he going to turn heel? Is he going to take out Lee? No, we're going to win the right one. Yeah.
That would have made no sense at all. Instead, we get Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland winning the match. Matt Jackson hit Swerve with a low blow, then hit Lee with the belt. Swerve kicked out, and in the end, it ended up Swerve hitting the stomp off the top rope, which does not look good. He needs a new finisher.
What? I love that move.
This one didn't look good.
Oh, yes.
The way he pulled it off. It was just him. It was just him stomping on the mat next to his head. What does that do?
You know what? Forget you.
The move needs to change. He needs to modify it, make it look better.
I liked it, but this was great. Like I was telling you earlier, usually I get spoilers ahead of time, or I get a little in the know before. I had no idea this was going to happen. Like I said, I thought we were getting FTR Young Bucks 3 for all the gold. I hope this isn't like a backstage play by the Bucks not wanting to drop the gold to FTR or being Joseph. But two stats that I have for people that I teased earlier.
That's what I thought. I was kind of thinking, the Bucks didn't get pinned for it, did they?
Yeah. No. We might see another title change here soon. But two stats for people. FTR previously had held the record for shortest tag team championship reign at 44 days. Young Bucks type, they lost theirs in 28 days. Swerve Strickland became the second fastest champion in AEW history. FTR won titles 84 days coming into the company. Swerve Strickland has been with the company for 92 days.
Nice.
And it was kind of cool because there was kind of a... people didn't know if Keith Lee was going to be at this match. And he cut a heartwarming promo after... I don't know if you saw this or not. But after Dynamite went off the air...
I couldn't get to see it. No.
One of his best friends in life... he said the guy's name, but before they found out, but when they found out the match was announced, he had told Keith Lee that he was probably dying and that he was going to get some tests done to find out what was going on. So he told, I forget the guy's name, and I don't want to name him anyway, but he told him he would dedicate this match to him. Well, that morning he found out that he had stage 4 terminal colon cancer.
Ouch. Oh, God.
He very emotional after winning the match and saying when he gets back to Texas that he is going to bring the titles to him and they're going to celebrate together. And that was just... they showed a bunch of pictures afterwards on Twitter. Tony Khan shaking their hands and just Keith Lee and Swerve being just so happy, like...
You gotta send me this stuff when you watch it.
I'll do that. Yeah, my bad. I should have done that. Yeah. People give so much crap. Sometimes we give crap too, but they're like, "Oh, they don't know what they're doing with Lee and Strickland and blah blah." You know.
Yeah.
They've only been there 3 months, and they're tag team champions, in which probably tag team wrestling is the heart of that company. Like, there are so many great tag teams. and they put the belts on these guys. And you know, now that
it's good to see a company treat Keith Lee so well after the treatment he got.
Yeah, and just the emotion. I'll go back and find that video and I'll send it to you on Twitter. But just the emotion that he shared, like it was just raw and real, and just I wish sometimes they would put this stuff on TV.
Yeah, that would have been just awesome ending to the show.
It was only 2 minutes long, but it was just Keith Lee, and it was seeing a human and like just real, just being real, just showing emotion and showing, you know, I think he said he loved the guy like 4 times during the promo, you know, like how much he loved.
What a good guy he is.
Yeah, just like, I bet that guy, you know, God bless him. I wouldn't want to be at home with stage 4 cancer and probably going to die anytime, you know. But here, his best friend is sitting there telling him how much he loves him, and this is for him. And man, that was just a great moment. And just stuff like that just makes you just, it was awesome, man. I was so happy. Like I told you earlier, I have merch from both guys. I've been fans of both guys for the longest time. I did not see this happening. Going back through my mind and watching like some of the matches they had beforehand, maybe I should have saw the story broken. But my question,
Swerve, I didn't know who he was when they brought him in.
He got released from WWE. He was in a Hit Row, and they got signed. Like they went from NXT to SmackDown, and we're gonna be like the next big things, and like released like 2 weeks later. And that's what Tony Khan was
smart.
Tony Khan's like, I'm signing this guy up. And Swerve's been on the independents with all like Darby and all them guys. Like they've had so many matches.
Yeah, I know he was in the Northwest a lot and promoted. Wasn't he MLB or something like that?
MLW.
MLW, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
But just good stuff. I like how they had the confetti ready to go off, and
I liked the confetti in the end. That was great.
What a great ending to a show.
That was a really good match, I have to say. What'd you rate the entire show?
I will probably give it 3 chair shots.
I'm behind you. I gave it 2.5.
That's fair. I mean, my wrestler of the night, I'm going to give it to Keith Lee just because of what I just said.
That's really cool.
There was a lot of things online beforehand thinking that Keith Lee wasn't going to be there, that Tony Khan actually like posted a statement saying, yes, he'll be there. I'm not going to say what's going on, but he will be there. To know what's going on in your personal life and to still go out there and deliver what he did was just, it was limitless. And all Swerve to the glory.
Yeah, that was great. My wrestler of the night was Luchasaurus.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. It's a bad dude.
Yeah. I like where they're going with them. I like what they're doing. Let's keep seeing more Luchasaurus.
Okay, let me ask you, where do you go from here?
With Luchasaurus?
Yeah.
No, you just keep him kicking ass.
Eventually, he has to lose Jungle Boy to get to Christian Cage. He has to.
I don't know if I want to see that. I just don't know.
I don't either. Real quick, Danielson news. He has been cleared, from what I've been told, from concussion protocol. Tony Khan.
Awesome.
Tony Khan is just being cautious right now, kind of waiting, letting him heal a little bit longer.
That's smart.
Yeah, it's kind of a we don't need you right now type of deal. Let's let you heal a little bit more, and then we'll bring you back. Also, one last thing on the Santana Ortiz thing I talked about. I told you this like a month ago, but Conan went on his podcast and confirmed that Santana and Ortiz have been at odds for some reason, whatever it is, and Santana will be leaving AEW when his contract is up.
That sucks.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Sucks really bad.
Have they announced besides the Jericho Kingston match, have they announced any other things for Friday Fest Part 2?
Not that I had. I I normally don't write those things down, which I should.
I don't remember saying anything.
I don't remember mentioning anything other than that match with the shark cage.
So who else is going to be on the show? Like you had Claudio wrestle, you had Mox wrestle, you had the Young Bucks wrestle, you had Luchasaurus wrestle. Who else are you going to put on the second part?
I don't know, but I'm expecting it to be better.
It has to be Hangman, right? Hangman has to be on there because he wasn't on here.
Yeah, Hangman should be on there. Wow, you got me. I got a total brain fart.
Orange Cassidy, Wardlow was on this. I mean, you had like a lot of big hitters on night one. Who's going to be on night two?
You already had Moxley on it.
Yeah.
Took the interim world champ off. I don't know where they're going to go with things. It's all centered around this gimmick match.
Yeah, and the only thing I know for Rampage this week is Gresham and Lee Moriarty.
So yeah.
But that's all I got, my friend.
That'd be a good match. That would be a real good match.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for Lee Moriarty because I've watched him since he was on Dark, since he started on Dark, and just waiting for him just to get just the right spot to where he gets.
Fun fact, I was at the Dynamite in Cincinnati in September of last year when Tony Khan announced that Lee Moriarty was All Elite.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's cool. That's awesome.
He actually came out and made the announcement himself. I think he wrestled on one of the pre-shows or something, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've just been waiting for the kid to make it, to break through that glass ceiling.
We'll see. We'll see what happens this Friday.
Yeah. This could be a stepping stone to that.
Well, the guy's going through a lot. Like I talked about,
you're a John Gresham fan. I've only seen a handful of matches of John Gresham. He's from what I can tell, he's a very technical wrestler.
It's like he's like Bryan Danielson, but Danielson does more mainstream moves. I'll say like he's more. It would be like a rock band and an indie band, kind of like Gresham's kind of the indie guy, where like nobody really. He's so good. Like I love how he comes out with the octopus mask. The only thing that hurts him.
Oh yeah, that ain't cool.
Yeah, the only thing that he doesn't have the charisma that Danielson has, I guess would be the thing. But maybe
more. I know he's married to Jordynne Grace.
Yes, and she was in the news. Oh my God! Did you hear about? Oh, did you hear about that?
I usually get updates on.
Okay, she was hosting a Q&A on her Twitter, and somebody asked, somebody said something about how do you think, notwithstanding what happened, how Chris Benoit would fare in today's wrestling? And she went off, and she said, that he couldn't hang with today's wrestling. She made a lot of comments about his CTE. About how he wouldn't be able to remember match spots and that he's a piece of shit and how
really? Wow.
And about how
I don't know how I feel about
how he killed his kid and his wife and blah blah blah.
That was horrible. Definitely was horrible.
Yeah, but she went a little crazy. Like we could say whatever we want about Benoit and his personal life. What happened was horrible.
Inexcusable.
Yes. In the ring, he was great.
He's one of the greatest that has ever been in the ring. Saying those kind of things really doesn't have any ability.
Well, after she said that, she got a lot of backlash, a lot of hate, a lot of people talking smack. And
I think I did read something about it because I have her on my Twitter.
Well, it came.
One of the people I follow.
Yeah, it finally came to a head where she had a meeting with Chris Benoit's son David, and they are setting up a charitable fund together. She she's going to match donations and things like that. But, like, it was a big storm for a while.
That's good.
Yeah, she ended up correcting it. I mean...
Well, she did the right thing, it sounds like.
Yeah, what she said wasn't wrong.
No, that's not why I don't know how to feel about it, because he murdered his family. It still shocks to this day.
Oh, to this day, yeah.
To this day, her, you know, saying terrible things about him, I understand where that's coming from. But then there's the wrestling fan inside me that says, yeah, but Benoit was the shit in the day.
Well, that was what people had, her saying he couldn't hang with today's, yeah, he could.
Oh, you know damn well he'd be teaching them shit. I mean,
you could call him a piece of shit for killing his kid and his wife and that, yeah. But saying the other shit, come on now. Like, people don't talk about O.J. Simpson. Like, they don't say... You know, I bet he couldn't run the football like he did. No.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it's like when people talk about the ratings in wrestling, when they compare, McDonald's sells a billion burgers a year. They're not better than Gordon Ramsay's restaurant that sells, you know.
That's a good analogy. That's like one of the best analogies I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, they're number one. Who cares? I don't care if
they're eating more crap.
Yeah, I don't care if more people watch WWE. More fat people eat McDonald's, so they do better food. It doesn't mean they're better. It doesn't mean it's a better burger. It means it's cheaper and easier to get. That's kind of how WWE is compared to AEW. That's my thought on the matter.
And that's brilliant.
Hey, I try, brother. I try. But going back to Lee Moriarty, like I said, like a while back, he took some time off his... I forget, it was like a nephew or a cousin or a young relative got accidentally killed in a drive-by shooting, and he took some time off, and now he's coming back.
Yeah. I remember that. That's coming back to me now, yeah.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. I hope he looks good on Rampage. I kind of hope, like, if I'm not going to get Claudio versus Gresham at Death and War Dishonor, I hope something like Boozy happens on Rampage and we get Moriarty and Gresham at the pay-per-view.
That'd be a nice thing. I'd like to see that match.
But other than that, I mean, no Punk news. It's so quiet, like nobody's talking. I will say that AEW announced on Dynamite that they're going to be at the NOW Arena again in Chicago. Another AEW pay-per-view in Chicago. Which leads me to believe, because they said All Out was not going to be in Chicago. So that kind of leads me to believe that Punk will be back sooner than later for a Punk Moxley match at All Out. Also, Tony Khan announced, I've read about this, August 13th. I don't know how, that's like, what, a month away? Dynamite will be in Canada for their Canada debut.
Wow, that's big. Whereabouts in Canada?
They didn't announce the date. He's been talking about going to Alberta. He's been talking about going to Winnipeg. He's been talking about going to Edmonton. They own a hotel somewhere in Toronto. I want to say it's a Four Seasons or a Hilton or something. I'll get more into that. He just announced on Busted Open today, I think it was, that they're going to be in Canada on the 13th. I don't think he said a location. They're looking to go.
It's going to be a nuts show. It's going to be crazy out there.
Well, and that's the thing somebody pointed out today. Like, if you watch an AEW show compared to a WWE show, the crowd reactions are just so much different. AEW reminds me so much of the Attitude Era, just how into the crowd, or how into, like, every match the crowd is. It's just, an AEW crowd is just off the hook.
Oh, AEW fans are the best.
It's just, like, I just don't know why we're not growing yet, and I hope it happens sooner than later.
They, like, once again, they've only been around for 3 years. McMahon's been around, what, 40, 50, 60?
And when they made this promotion, it was for the smart fans. And there's only so many smart fans. And I think there's a way to keep smart fans and casual fans happy. And I think they got to find that middle line. And I think we talked about it a little bit tonight, like the Wardlow Orange Cassidy match. Why, first off, you have two of the biggest faces facing each other. It never works.
Second. Yeah, I've never been a fan of babyface versus baby. Well, I can't say that. I've never been a fan of that. It's got to be done right. That wasn't the instance in this match.
And I think it's also just the packaging. Like I said, like a fan like you compared to me during Forbidden Door week, had no idea what was going on. I had to explain everything. Like, not everybody like you has a person like me to explain everything that's going on in New Japan or whatever. Yeah. I know they did a great number. They did like 130,000 buys or whatever, but I think it could have been more if just more explanation was given, just some packaging, like just, and
they really slammed together the build up. They didn't give themselves enough time for the build up on that one.
And one thing I do love about AEW is like it's the fastest 2 hours on TV, or with Rampage, it's the fastest hour on TV. But sometimes we need to pump the brakes a little bit and just explain some things. Just explain some things and go from there. And just think, in a couple, we're going to get all these wrestlers back here soon. We're going to get Kenny Omega back. We're going to get Adam Cole back. We're going to get Jungle Boy back. We're going to get, you know, Jeff Hardy back eventually. We're going to get CM Punk back. We're going to get, you know, this roster is ready. I think they're going to get set up. Like, I think they're going to sign a big deal here soon. I just think big things are on the horizon. Sometimes we just have to wait. And it will happen.
Well, I think so far AEW has done a great job with all the injuries and everybody that's hit the injury list, like you mentioned. It's they've really held together real well. And
you can't go wrong with being number one in your time slot. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they're doing something right.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's been great talking, as it is always.
Yes, sir.
And just want to let everybody know that we love and appreciate you guys so much for listening to us and the support. Go to the Facebook page, the group page, Silence Pro Wrestling Talk. You can find me, Stagger Lee, on Facebook, or you can go to StaggerLee777 on Twitter. Give me a follow. I wouldn't mind. Jason, what's your info?
I'm Jason Wayne Blunt Sr. on Facebook. At JBlun, JAYBLUN 23 at Twitter. Hit us up. We appreciate everybody that listens to us. Retweet. Tell your friends about us. Let's keep growing this family. I love the time we get to spend every week talking to each other. It's been another great week. Can't wait for another one.
Definitely. I can't either. And thanks again, everybody. Good night. Let's go.
Let's go.